We'll be talking lead mining in Wisconsin coming up next on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here. Pleased to have with me in the studio Carol March McLernan, who is from Lake Geneva and is the author of Lead Mining Towns of Southwest Wisconsin. It's published by Arcadia Publishing, and I've had a chance to go through the book. It's a fun book, and with some beautiful, very interesting old photography of what it was like back in the heyday of the lead mining that went on in Wisconsin and Illinois as well. And Carol has done a nice job here of chronicling what went on, especially pictorially here, I think, of lead mining here in the state and elsewhere, too. So really pleased to have her with us. And there are a lot of people, excuse me, I've got a little catch in my throat here, a lot of people who have had experiences, you may be one of them, with a relative or some or several relatives who were involved in lead mining in Wisconsin, or you may just have some interest in it and knowing what went on, particularly in the southwestern part of the state. We're really pleased to have her along to answer those questions for you and also hear your stories, too. So give us a call at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. Love to hear from you. Carol McLernan, welcome. Nice to have you with us.
Thank you, Larry. It's good to be here.
How did you get interested in this history of lead mining in the state?
Well, I sometimes tell people that I lived in it.
Well, you're not that old.
But I think I did come by it naturally because of living there. The home that came into my home, to my family, that was an original family home, was full of old pictures.
Oh.
So when it came to our generation, I had these pictures. And what do you do with them? And label them and try to keep up and... It's fun to go through them and
look through them. And you, I mean, you've got an interesting history with your mom and with your dad and even with yourself in terms of how they met and being born, where they were born and so forth.
Yes. My father, in the early 1900s, was born in the Masonic Temple because the town was growing so fast, they rented it out to a family, and that's where he was born.
And which town was this?
In New Diggings.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother was born at Natchez, which was the original New Digs of New Diggings. The old digs had been done by Native Americans.
Okay, so that's the difference. If it's old diggings, it was Native Americans. New Diggings,
right.
White settlers.
Right. So, and at that place, there's a railroad tunnel which goes from Natchez over to Strawbridge. And that's where my dad was living at one time. And my mother was on one side of this tunnel, and my dad was on the other side. And so, and I was born at Strawbridge, and so I call that the Tunnel of Love.
That's a great story, and I like that tunnel. It's still not there, is it?
It is.
It is.
Yes.
Oh.
And originally, there was an old boxcar that had a big sign, Strawbridge. And I sent that picture to the publisher, but it wasn't accepted, so because it was pretty old. But it was unique.
The Sauk and the Fox Indian tribes lived in along the Rock River, I guess, pretty much, and the Mississippi River. And were the Sauk and the Fox were making use of the lead that was in the land, were they not?
I'm not sure how they would have used it, but they did have a smelting process, a crude one,
mm-hmm.
and they made the lead into plats.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where the town name of Platteville came from.
Oh, okay.
They were brick-shaped.
Brick-shaped plats, mm-hmm. Okay. And when the boom came, when did it first come to Wisconsin?
1820s, and that's the lead mining peaked at 1845, but the zinc started in about 1860, and it peaked at in 1917, and all of it ended in the 1950s.
And did it, the reason for it ending, was it just that the mines played out? Or?
No. There would have been lots of ore mm-hmm. after that, but the prices weren't good because there weren't as many uses for lead.
And in your book, your photos and your stories go back to that time, do they not?
Yes.
And talk about who are some of the early notable lead miners?
Julian Dubuque was here in the early hundreds. John Roundtree, who settled in Platteville later on, he and Lucius Lyon established the point of beginning on the Illinois line early on, and then he later moved to, and I think he did some mining. Henry and Bayonne Gratiot, and I can tell you about Gratiot's Grove if you want to hear about
that.
I think probably the most colorful one and memorable one is William Hamilton, who was a son of Alexander Hamilton. His digs later became known as Wyota, Wisconsin. Jesse Shull did some digging. He lived in the town that later became known as Shullsburg, mm-hmm. my hometown. Andrew Murphy had led digs at Leadville, and that later became known as Lead Mine Town.
You mentioned point of beginning. What is the point of beginning, by the way?
It was a survey. They did the survey, and that's where all the land from there was established from that point.
Okay, so from one state to another, or was it from, or just from one holdings to another?
From Wisconsin, yeah. The state, not, I don't think Illinois.
So that was the start of the beginning of Wisconsin.
All the surveys.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk a little bit about what it was like. What was the mining like? There were different ways of approaching mining. There were some, I'll let you tell that story. There were some sort of part-timers, and then there were people who got into it really big time.
If they struck it big, like Robert Champion at the New Diggings, he went on to become a rich man because of the mines, and he established mines and had lots of workers and so on, and brought in a smelter to serve his mine. But basically, a lot of them were farmers. And then they'd find lead, and they'd get excited.
Yeah, and how would they mine the ore? The farmers
probably picks and shovels.
I noticed some photos in your book of just kind of holes in the little holes in the ground. Is that how they did it?
I think so. They were called sucker holes.
Sucker holes, and there was an interesting story relating to that. I thought, sucker holes, well, that reminds me of, oh, he was a sucker and just dug a hole here, but that's not what it meant.
The suckers were, Illinois became the sucker state because some of the miners dug in the summer and went south for the, south for the winter, and some dug their holes and stayed in them, and there's a picture of one of those, what I think is one of those.
Mm-hmm.
And those men became the badgers.
Yeah, and so the suckers were named really after the fish.
Yes.
rather than you were a sucker for digging a hole here.
Well, we think so.
that's what we think anyway. You have some great stories of some of the old folks some of the people that mined back then? Some stories about how they lived and how they got the town started. You're writing about the lead mining towns of southwest Wisconsin, and let's pick one of those towns and talk about it.
Gratiot's Grove, I told you I'd come back to that, mm-hmm. Is just south of Shullsburg, Wisconsin, and that's where Gratiot had 1,000 miners working in in digs around there, and they had a post office, and a stagecoach came through there and stopped at Barry's Tavern. Then, in 1832, Black Hawk wanted his property back, and he threatened to do whatever it would take to get his property back. And then the miners left. The women were sent down to safer places, like Wyota or Galena, and miners never did come back.
So they just left, and I can see why. They might be a little bit concerned about not living too long.
And there were other digs. They didn't have to stay there. So it became a ghost town. And then years later, they built a school not too far from there, and that's where I went to school.
So you went to school in a ghost town.
Right.
Dennis in Madison's online. Let's go to Dennis. Hi, Dennis. Thanks for calling.
Oh, thank you. Interesting program. Any statistics on the longevity or the how long did these miners work, given that not only was the work dangerous, but also that they were dealing with lead? And I'm assuming quite a bit of lead in the dust.
Yeah, that's a good question. Any ideas on that, Carol?
No, I don't have any statistics.
It would be interesting. And, you know, I expect at the time, in terms of the health of the miners, they probably, you know, they didn't know then what we know now about lead and so forth. So I didn't see a lot in your book about the health status on farmers.
No, I don't.
Of the miners. Wish we could help you out on that one, Dennis. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. You can join in, too, at 1-800-642-1234. Or if you're in the Madison area, reach us at 263-1890, 263-1890. Give us a call. Bob in Blanchardville, we'll give you a chance now. Hi, Bob. Thank you for calling.
Thank you, Larry. I'd like to know if Carol knows a man named Dana Deppler, D-U-P-P-L-E-R. Who is restoring historic houses.
I don't know him personally, but I know of his work because that he's working on the schoolhouse where I went to school in the ghost town.
Well, he needs all the help he can get. I'm sure you could Google him and find his association or his funding needs. He's a very determined man that really needs some help.
Dana Deppler, D-U-P-P-L-E-R?
Correct. He lives in South Wayne.
That's interesting. Okay, I might just Google him up myself and see what we can find. Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Yeah, appreciate the call. And Lori and Lyndon, you're up next. Hi, Lori.
Hi. My boyfriend owns an old house in Lyndon, and I just had an interesting thing that he found last year. He was digging through his shed, and he found Lyndon is the old town of what was called Peddler's Creek, a lead mining town, and he found an old miner's cap or helmet last year with some kind of number on it. I'm not sure what that number means, so I wanted to know if you know what that might mean. And also, I was curious about the story of Peddler's Creek. I've heard some rumors, and I was wondering if you knew that story. And finally, we ride motorcycle, and we just discovered new diggings last summer and went there just about every weekend, where hundreds and hundreds of motorcycles go every weekend, and they have those old bars there. And I was wondering if you knew the history of how new diggings came about. I'd like to hear some of that.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling, Lori. What about you want to take the miner's cap first?
I think they're very lucky to find a miner's cap.
Yeah, and the numbers?
I don't know why they would have numbers.
Probably, you knew you got your hat, you put a number on it, and maybe, all right, there's my number 4 hat, I suppose. Right. But who knows about that? Well, what about the history of new diggings?
Oh, I could go on for a long time about that.
Let's go talk about that a bit.
That's where my dad was born, in the Masonic Temple, and Father Samuel's church is there. St. Augustine's has a wonderful history. They have services there every year. Father Samuel came here from Italy. In 1832, he arrived here, and he had this long strip of land either side of the Mississippi for his parish. He established many, many churches there. It was wonderful. I just have the greatest respect for him.
As someone who really had a big influence on new diggings.
Exactly.
Itself. What was the town like? What did it look like?
I think it was rowdy.
Well, Lori said there are lots of old bars there.
Yes, and they were. That's what made a town in those days. And that's where there was Irish digs and English digs. No, it was English Hollow and English Irish Hollow, two different places. And I think probably they didn't have too much to do with each other.
Yeah.
But the Irish miners called Father Samuel Father Kelly because they couldn't pronounce his Italian name.
Our guest today, Carol March McLernan, who is author of Lead Mining Towns of Southwest Wisconsin, Images of America. Lots of photos. I think there's about 200 photos in there.
Probably.
couple hundred photos of the times from the probably from the 1820s right on up to into the 1900s, early 1900s, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. Our guest today, the book is published by Arcadia Publishing. I'm Larry Mueller. Jim Packard, our producer here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking with Carol McLernan about her book, Lead Mining Towns of Southwest Wisconsin, published by Arcadia Publishing. Larry Mueller here. Jim Packard, our producer, happy to have you with us. And lots of callers online, so we'll go back to the phones. And Shireen in Springbrook, it's your turn next. Hi, Shireen.
Hi. I had a thought on the number on the caps, but I wanted to ask about if she had any articles about St. John's Mine in Potosi.
No, I don't know anything about that.
Oh, don't have anything on that one, Shireen.
Because that was a very famous one, and it's still open for tours. But the numbers on the caps, when the miners went into the mines, because it was dangerous work, they had a board with their number on it, their cap number. When they went in, they took it, the number down, and when they came out, they hung it back up so they knew if someone was missing or not.
Oh, that makes great sense. Thanks, Shireen.
Okay.
Yeah, appreciate the call. And Gary in Boscobel, it's your turn next. Hi, Gary.
Hi, Larry. I had a couple of comments here. One of them was connected with you asked, there was a question asked about how the lead was found, and your guest said by farmers. And I have an old magazine. It was called Wisconsin Magazine, I think, and it was, I think the copy I've got was printed about 1934. And in there was an article that said that farming was actually outlawed in southern Wisconsin for a time because these ranchers used some of the native prairie plants as indicators for where to dig for lead. And so, for instance, lead plant and some of the colors of the prairie plants, the leaves, when they would dry, looked grayish like lead. So I think that there was a law to prevent those prairies from being plowed up so that the miners could explore for veins of lead. And then also I was wondering whether your guest had written much information on the lead trail that ran from Mineral Point over to Milwaukee. There was a doctor in the Monroe, New Glarus area years ago that wrote a small paperback publication on the lead trail and where it went and the foundries, the smelters, and Mineral Point. And then also on the lead paint, I think it's possible the Indians may have used that some of that lead for mixing paint, for making white paint, because that when the lead oxidizes, it gets a white a white powdery stuff on it. And then also, I think there's another part of the whole lead mining history that's not paid much attention to, and that's the all the lives of the Native Americans that were lost because of the miners actually invaded Indian territory before 1832. It was Indian territory, and they were illegally mining lead in Indian territory at that time. And you know, the whole Black Hawk conflict revolved around miners taking over Black Hawk's territory and being in there without permission of the Indians. And so there was, you know, like 1,500 Native Americans were massacred over here on the Mississippi because of that dispute over the territory and who lived there and who owned what. So
yeah, boy, some interesting points. Comments, Carol?
Thank you very much for those comments. Would you like to hear about how Henry Gratiot found his lead ore?
Yeah.
Asked one of the Native Americans, and they could not tell where the lead ore was. But one of them shot an arrow into the air, and it was supposedly to fall on this lead ore.
Oh, and
a good place to dig.
Interesting. And the lead trail, anything about
that? I don't know about the lead trail.
Bob in Darlington, it's your turn. Hi, Bob. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call, Larry.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife and I, we live in Darlington.
Mm-hmm.
And it's surrounded by all of these, you know, early 1800 towns like, you know, Linden and Mineral Point and Gratiot and Shullsburg. And I just wondered what the significance of Darlington is, because I don't think I've never heard anyone here talk about any lead mines being right close to Darlington.
To Darlington, yeah.
There aren't any near Darlington, but Darlington was an important railroad center.
That's what I thought, but
yes.
I didn't know for sure.
It was.
And was the ore pretty much handled right on site, or did it get toted away on the trains?
They smelted it on site.
Did smelt it on site?
Yes.
All right, Bob, thank you very much. Appreciate your call. Don in Waukesha, it's your turn next. Hi, Don.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I just was able to tune in on this discussion here just a few minutes ago. A friend of mine called me on my cell phone and said that you're discussing the lead region there in southwestern Wisconsin.
Yeah.
I was born on a farm near just outside of a lead mine, and my great-granddaddy pioneered that farm in 1842. We used to be around New Diggings and Lead Mine and all of the Aetna and all those old towns and mines and stuff down there when I was a kid. Now, I don't know if you know this or not, but there was a battle, a political battle. I think it started out with a guy named Dodge, who became the first governor of the state of Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he attempted to have the first state capitol parked in New Diggings, Wisconsin. And that gives you an idea how much commerce there was through mining down there. There was a huge smelter in New Diggings back in the good old days.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't win that battle. Belmont did. Belmont won the battle for the first state capital.
Yes.
Okay. I met a guy here several years ago at Darlington. I grew up in Darlington. I was born on a farm by lead mine, but I grew up over in Darlington. But I met an old boy by the name of George Edge. He's dead now. He's an old guy 20 years ago. He told me about when he was a teenager in New Diggings about being in one of those saloons down there, and he was a witness to a murder at a gambling table. A guy pulled a gun out and shot a guy right across the table. He was a witness on it and testified in the trial.
Wow.
And it gives you an idea what kind of a town that place was.
Oh, wow.
That was a wild west down there.
Well, you know, guys had, I suppose there were a lot of single miners.
Yeah. Yes.
At the time with, whenever the payday came.
And the competition for the mines.
And the competition for the mines was also a...
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there was so much commerce down there around New Diggings that there's so much money that the railroad line, whatever it was, built a special track in there and they put two tunnels. Back in the early 1800s, to build two tunnels cost a ton of money. And they built two tunnels into New Diggings. So the line must have gone from maybe from Mineral Point down to Galena, I'm thinking. You know?
It went from Aetna to Galena. And that was the spur line that went through the Champion Mine in the tunnel. That went to the Champion Mine. The Skinner Roaster was part of that complex.
I see. Okay. What's your name? Carol, what is it?
Oh, Carol McClernand, and her book is titled Lead Mining Towns of Southwest Wisconsin, and it's published by Arcadia Publishing.
Okay, Carol, are you from down there someplace?
I am. I grew up at Shellsburg, and my dad was a young man in New Diggings. He used to tell us to watch out for the streetcars.
Yeah, the Chamber of Commerce, and, one of my favorite places in the state to go nowadays, when I can get to it, mm-hmm. is that old saloon down there in New Diggins.
Do you ride your motorcycle?
That's more fun than anything in the state, I think. I have two books laying out here that were given to me long ago. One is called New Diggings is an Old Diggings. It was written by a guy named C.L. Lackey in 1951.
That was Mr. Lackey.
Okay, Lakey. And the other one was a reprint in 1984. I don't know what the original copyright was on it, by Margaret Carter.
Yes.
New Diggings on the Fever.
Right. She was a teacher, and she had her high school students compile that book.
Really?
Yes. It's wonderful, isn't it?
Really interesting stuff. It really is.
Yes.
You know?
Thanks, Don.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, appreciate it very much. Oh, it's always fun to learn a little bit more about some of these towns. So somebody got shot in the poker game. Well, I tell you what, Chris in Blue Mounds has a comment for us and might relate to poker. I don't know. Chris, hi.
Yeah, I was just asking about, wanted to ask about Polkerville. It was also, I think, called West Moundville or Moundville. Now it's Blue Mounds. But in the history books, there are plenty of, the local history books, there are plenty of stories about people getting shot in Polkerville at that time. But I think it was, you know, this was, area was sort of more the western edge of the mining area. And I was just wondering if the, what information about the western edge, Dane County, Iowa County, is in the book, and anything pertaining to, say, Ebenezer Brigham, who was a earliest settler here in Dane County, I think, and built sort of a saloon or a hotel near the Blue Mound, which is just full of caves and fissures and lots of lead mine holes sunk around here. But I was just wondering kind of about that idea of, the, you know, was it sort of a eastward, you know, moving up from southeast kind of movement? How did that all work out as far as, like,
how the mining got started? Yeah.
I'm not sure about that. And my book is dependent totally on availability of pictures.
Mm-hmm.
So many of these pictures were in my family home. So naturally, they're about Shellsburg new diggings and so on. I did get some of my pictures from the Badger Mine Museum in Shellsburg. That's a very interesting place to visit if you'd like to go there. And also the Lafayette County Historical Society has some wonderful pictures. So if you're interested in that sort of thing, that I'd recommend
that. Those are some places to go, yeah.
Yes. I wanted to mention one more interesting thing is that in terms of locating mines. As part of the folklore revolved around a plant called Amorpha or lead plant.
Yeah.
Yes.
You're familiar with, I'm sure, it's a very deep-rooted, deep-rooted prairie plant. So it actually made some sense because those deep, deep roots would locate the fissures in the bedrock, which would, you know, enable more of a quick dig and geological inspection.
Yeah.
So
I appreciate that call. Someone else commented on that as well, Carol.
Yes, it was interesting.
Thank you very much for calling, Chris. Appreciate it. Lauren in Mineral Point, it's your turn next. Hi, Lauren.
Well, hi. It's great to hear something about the mining area of Wisconsin and how important it was.
Are you Lauren Ferry?
Yes, I am.
I talked to you on the phone a few weeks ago.
Yes. Yeah. Well, a couple of things I just wanted to clear up, I guess. There's a tremendous problem where people think that the lead mining caused lead poisoning. And that basically is untrue because what you're mining was lead sulfide, the ore. And it's only the natural metal lead that will give you any lead poisoning. You could actually suck on a piece of lead ore all day and it's not going to hurt you any.
Oh.
I'm originally from lead mine, incidentally. This is all lead mine week. The second thing is that the mines in the area pretty much converted over to a predominance of zinc mining and closed in 1979. And a couple of interesting ones you'd mentioned there was the fact that there are three mines that you can actually go into in southwest Wisconsin, and I'd recommend highly a day doing this. The first is St. John's Mine in Potosi, and that basically is what would be equivalent to an Indian mine, one of Julian Dubuque's mines from the very late 1700s, just basically a cave where they mined. The second one is Badger Mine and Museum, which is very similar to the 1860s Civil War type of mine, about 30 feet deep, fantastic little museum there. And the one that is roughly turn of the century is the Platteville Mine and Museum, and that one will show you what the mines look like toward the latter part of the mining era. It's really important, I think, to realize how important mining was and how much money was made. For example, there's a story in the 1881 history of Iowa or Lafayette County of a fellow by the name of Doyle, and I'm not sure if he's related to our governor or not, who between 1832, I believe, and 34, was able to raise today's equivalent of $6 million in ore.
Wow.
And what he did is they talked him into going to Washington, D.C. to set up a dinner for the president and all the notables in D.C. And he went out, and Andrew Jackson sat at his right hand, and he had the dinner. He came back, and within a few years, had lost everything and died penniless.
Oh man, there are a lot of stories like that out there, but those are sad stories sometimes, aren't they?
Right. It's really interesting. Anyone who wants to learn a little bit more, Mineral Point, Shellsburg, Potosi, Platteville are just some very interesting areas to visit. I'd recommend it highly.
Yeah. Lauren, thank you. We appreciate the call very, very much. Have you had a chance to visit any of the museums? And Carol?
Yes. The Badger Mine Museum. I've gone down in that mine, and I've been to the one in Platteville.
As well.
I've not been to Potosi. That's my next one.
That's your next one to get to it. They all sound really interesting. Mike in Platteville. Speaking of Platteville, here's Mike. Hi, Mike.
Hello there, Larry and Carol. Carol, it's interesting that your book has come out. I definitely will buy it. I just finished spending a full year restoring one of the original buildings from the mining days back to its original condition in Platteville. It was the Hare Veterinary Building. Dr. Hare tore down a barn and put up a barn frame a block off Main Street in Platteville and put a brick veneer around it. And this is where he primarily took care of the horses that pulled the wagons and so on and serviced the mines. At that time in 1900, when this building was built, was the latter part of the lead, you know, and the zinc mining was getting going. And at that particular point in time, Main Street was primarily a mining company. And the building has been beautifully restored inside now. It looks just like it did in 1900 now. So people may be interested in that.
And Mike, can people tour the building, or what are you doing with the building?
Actually, the building is available. I followed National Park Service guidelines to restore it, and it's available for rent or for purchase. My wife and I wanted to restore a building because when I bought it, it was 107 years old, had three owners, and was basically virtually unchanged since it was built. We just followed National Park Service guidelines and the Wisconsin State Historical Society to restore it meticulously back to its original state.
Oh, that's very cool. Very cool.
So the building's available for purchase or lease, but I actually have a comment. In my research at the Platteville Museum, I learned that the zinc mining really peaked, as Carol pointed out, in 1917, due to the fact that for armaments during World War I, there was a huge demand for zinc, and it really dropped off in the 1920s and 30s, had another spike just before World War II, once again due to military needs, and of course, as Carol pointed out, it did tail off in the 1950s.
Yeah.
I do have a question for you, Carol. In my research, I was able to find out a little bit about the horses and the mines, but I wanted to know, did you find in your research were mules used in southwest Wisconsin for mining work?
They took them down in a sling, and they'd stay there for long periods of time. I'm thinking months, and they fed and took very good care of them because they knew they were dependent on them.
So they, and I believe you have a pic. You may have.
There is a picture in there.
Yeah, there's a photo in your book of a mule doing work down in one of the mines.
I believe so.
Well, that's good to know. It's one of the things I've not been able to find out in my research, and I found a limited amount on my building, although the remnants of the originality were there to the point where we were able to restore it.
Well, that's
great.
That's
wonderful to restore a building. It's important.
What's the name of the building again, Mike?
It's called the Hare Veterinary Building. It's on South 4th Street in Platteville. And you can actually see in the windows and see what it looks like on the inside. The outside has been restored as original. Yeah. And it's on South 4th Street. Hare is spelled H-E-E-R.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it very much.
Nice talking to you. Thanks.
And Dean and Viola, it's your turn next. Hi, Dean.
Hi. I just had a short comment. My grandfather was a dentist in the 20s in Linden. And when he wasn't digging in people's mouths, he had time to also mine. And my father told a story of looking out the old schoolhouse window one day, and there was his father, my grandfather, with a couple other guys sinking a shaft right in the schoolyard. He said he took me there one time and showed me where the tailings are dropped. The tailings are still at the side of the road. It's a real steep drop off there, and they were still there. He would mine this ore, and then he'd take it and store it in his garage where he kept his pigs, too.
Oh, that's a great story. Thank you, Dean.
Sure.
Oh, I appreciate it. Appreciate it very much. And, well, Mary and Madison. Let's take Mary here. Hi, Mary.
Hello. Great show. I was wondering, did the people from Cornwall come there for the lead mining, or... Do you know anything about that?
Yes. The Cornish people settled in Mineral Point. There were very few of them at Shellsburg and the towns that I knew about. And I didn't happen to have any pictures of that for my book because that's not where I lived. But I think there's a book available that tells about the mines at Mineral Point. It would be very interesting.
Yeah. Thank you very much for calling. And Carol, thank you so much for being with us today. It was fun talking about the lead mining and the lead mining towns in southwest Wisconsin. Appreciate
Thank you
it.
For having me, Larry.
Our guest, Carol March McLarnon, and Carol's book is titled Lead Mining Towns of Southwest Wisconsin, Images of America. Lead Mining Towns of Southwest Wisconsin. About 200 or so photographs along with some information, obviously, about each photo, and gives you kind of a history of what went on. And there's some captivating pictures. I love the pictures of the people that she has, but the buildings are a lot of fun to look at, too, and to kind of see what it was like back in, the 1820s and on up through. Again, it's Lead Mining Towns of Southwest Wisconsin by Carol McLarnon. Thanks again, Carol. Coming up, we're going to be taking, we're going to go from the underground to the outer space and talk about astronomy with our two guests, Jim Lattice and Tom Hall. I'm Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.